How many of y'all are excited this morning? Well, y'all need to show it. Amen. Y'all need to get fired up. Y'all, everybody stand up. We're going to do... No, I'm kidding. I was going to have y'all do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. Let's start over. Amen. See, y'all laugh. That's good because we serve a fun God. And y'all know Ricky, when he preaches, I like to laugh. But I'm serious about my God. Oh, I'm serious. The message I have for y'all this morning was inspired by the Holy Spirit and my dad, which was interesting. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, sorry, Daddy. You. But what, and I've told y'all this before, and those of you who hadn't heard it, when God deals with Ricky, he deals with me completely different than he may deal with you. See, because we're not all the same. God, he gathers everybody around and said, y'all watch, look what he got himself into this time. It's the way God deals with me. And that's okay because I relate to that. The other day, we're out at the place and I pulled in or something and me and Dad were talking. He's had a little issue with his truck. And the check engine light keeps coming on. Now, probably a lot of y'all have experienced that at one time or another. Amen? And it's frustrating. Isn't it? Especially if you take it somewhere and they go, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. The check engine light says it's on. There's a check engine. So they turn it off. And man, Dad's fought with this for a while. And the other day he goes, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm just going to trust God to fix that check engine light. You know what? He went out the other day and the check engine light wasn't on anymore. Amen. But then it came back on. That's okay. And he said, I'm done. I'm trusted. Well, it went off again. Now, so the title of this message is your check engine light on? Amen. Amen. Y'all start finding 2 Corinthians. So if I went around this room, and we won't, but because if there, when your engine light comes on, it's trying to tell you something. Now, whether it's accurate or not, who knows? It could just be saying that you need to go have your car oil changed. Who knows? But like I said, if I went around this room, there are probably people in here that are still driving with your check engine light on. Okay? And there's some that aren't. You know, because some have that bold confidence of going, oh, there ain't nothing wrong. Keep driving. And then there's those that when your check engine light comes on, oh, my Lord, I got to go. I got to go. I got to find the nearest automotive store right now. Lord, I got to go. See? And then there's those that goes, well, now, let me see. The check engine light's on. So, and then we have to analyze everything. There's all kinds of ways to handle that check engine light, right? I mean, because like I said, most of us have been there, okay? They didn't have those check engine lights when I was a kid. I had this 1976 Ford pickup. It was my first vehicle, and it was ugly. It was brown, two-tone brown with kind of a mustard yellow bottom. Beautiful. But that sucker had a 454 something, 460. It sucker would run. Of course, it'd run from one gas station to the other, especially when you're 16 years old. That thing did not have a warning light. And back in those days, they put this electric box, a metal box on the fender, on the inside of the hood. Now, unbeknownst to us at the time, I would be driving, and you'd be going to turn a corner, and the truck would die. And no power steering, no nothing then. And you'd have to sit there for 10 or 15 minutes, and it'd start. And you'd take it to the dealer, and they couldn't find it. Hey, no, we don't know. We don't know. Finally, we found a guy that it was that dadgum box under there that would just shut it down. I mean, it shut down. So you're asking, how does this relate to me? Well, is your check engine light on personally? We have to learn how to start recognizing those check engine lights in our life. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As I was praying and believing about this, a dear, dear, dear person to me posted this on Facebook, and I read this scripture and I thought, oh my, that's a good scripture to start with, Miss Sharon. Let's start in verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God is to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, when we start talking about warning lights, that's when your mind starts going. It's like we heard our pastor say one time, as you get older and you have that ache and pain, you know, and you go, oh my, is it cancer? Is it, what is it? You know, that's where it starts. So the Bible's telling us right here that we're not fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against what's right here. Amen? It says to the obedience of Christ. It's just what we talked about in communion. That Jesus was obedient all the way to the cross. If we are learning how to operate in the Word, then we're not in the flesh. We're going to be learning how to operate spiritually. Amen? Verse 5 says again, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I want y'all to hear this in the Passion. It says, verse 3, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God." Amen? Amen. Because when those check engine lights start coming on in your life, you have a choice. You have a choice. Are you going to operate as this tells us that we're fighting those spiritual warfare and God's weapons are the ultimate weapons? Are you going to start going to the world to try to figure out why your warning light came on in your life? No, because this is what's going to get us there. Look, last week when Corey was talking, so good, because I've had this, the title of this message, and been kind of just studying a little bit on check engine light. I brought this today. Last week, Corey was talking, and I don't know if any of you wrote this down, but he said that this is our life-saving manual. It's our operator's manual. Amen? You buy a car, guess what comes in the glove box? An operating manual. Amen? Because when there's a problem, you go to the operator's manual and you find out what's wrong. We bought a new trailer the other day, and I went over there to pick it up, and we were checking the lights on it. Taillights didn't work. I'm like, pulled a trailer yesterday, my taillights were fine. My taillights worked on my truck, but they didn't work on the trailer. Guy said, "Got your owner's manual?" "Yes, sir." "Go get it." He's a real happy guy. Went and got the owner's manual. He goes, "Find where the fuses are." I said, "I know the fuses are underneath." He said, "No, go get it. Look." So he told me what to look for. So I went down there, and there was like 100-something numbers of fuses in my truck to look for, just under the hood. And I found that number. And John, I pulled that sucker out, and I'll be dadgum. That one that went for the trailer operating lights, one little fuse burned out. Operating manual, We would have hunted all day had we not known where exactly that one fuse was that we were looking for. So this, as I said, the title of this sermon is Your Check Engine Light On. So what I've done today, this is going to be a different sermon for me. So y'all just bear with me because, hey, I try anything like the Holy Spirit tells me to do. So where's it at? And it was funny because I went, this is Laurie's out of her car. But what we're going to do today is every Christian, no matter what age spiritually you are, should know how to find some things in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit gave me this message, He said, you need to give them a quick reference guide. So you're going to get a quick reference guide today. Now, so here's my deal though. If you've never taken notes before, take some. If you don't have anything to take notes on today, then go home when you get home. Don't go home right now. We're not through. When you get home, listen to this sermon again and write this down. And carry it with you. Because we counsel, Laurie and I counsel so many people. And they go, well, this is happening in my life. What do I do? Hello, the Word. Well, I don't know where to go. I mean, I don't know how to find the answer to my problem. So that's what this is today. It's for Christians that have been studying the Word for a long time. And it's for young Christians that haven't been studying it for a long time. But I tell you what, if the Holy Spirit told me to do it, that's what we're doing today. Number one, fear. What happens when fear strikes you all of a sudden? Do you call that friend and go, what do I do? I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Or do you go, no. Not today, devil. Mm-mm, not happening. We're going to turn to Isaiah 41:10, devil, and you're going to hear God's word. Everybody turn to Isaiah 41:10. Say amen when you're there. Say oh my if you're not. Hang in there. Y'all better. Did you bring your Bibles this morning? We're going to do some page turning this morning. So you better get ready. Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Okay, we're just going to start. I mean, the verse hadn't even kind of gotten going yet, and he's telling us to fear not. He's with us. Amen? So if something comes against you, what do? You go to 41:10, and you go, God's telling me, fear thou not. He doesn't say do it if you want to. He said, fear thou not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be all discombobulated and all goofed up. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Oh my. Not only is he going to be there for me, he's going to give me strength in whatever I'm going through. Amen? Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The first one on our quick reference guide is fear. And if we're in fear, we go where? All right, everybody say it together. Isaiah 41:10. There you go. See, we're going to have a quick reference. When we're done today, you have a new operating manual. It's like having that quick reference. We've got the real operator's manual in here, and then we got the quick reference guide. That's what you're getting today. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy says that God didn't give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So there's two scriptures right there immediately that when you're struggling with fear, and you know what? If y'all weren't strong Christians, this world could make you get in fear real quick, couldn't it? Oh, my Lord. There is things going on that yesterday, Laurie and I went to Marble Falls, and we had to go to the store, so we were hungry, so we got a little snack, and we had to go somewhere else, but we sat in the park. You know, she said, this could be entertaining if we sat here and ate our snack. I said, we're going to. She said, really? I said, yeah, let's sit here and eat it. We was up there close to the front. If y'all have never done that, you should. I'm guaranteeing you see things you can't believe. I mean, going into the store. But it makes you go, oh, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. That's not me. Because what you see in this world, we need stuff like this, y'all. We need to be able to flip to that and go, thank you, Lord, this is what I need. Number two, what if you're angry or you deal with anger issues? Okay? We're going to go our James 1. That's to the right over there just after Hebrews. James 1. We have to learn that when something comes against us, that we react. No. Thank you. We don't react. We are already proactive in the fact that we're already in the Word of God. Amen? So that when something happens, we already know where we're supposed to go when fear tries to come upon us. Or if we're dealing with anger issues. Amen? I mean, those of you who have trouble with anger issues, that heat didn't help you any, did it, in June and July? I mean, because that'd make the most calm person mad. But what do? We turn to the Word and we go to James 1:19. And James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When we learn how to use that verse, it keeps us from getting into anger. I'm having a little issue with something that we purchased about a month or so ago. Nothing major, but the dealership has not got it fixed yet. They've had it for over a month, and they just now looked at it a week or so ago. I need it next week. And I called on Friday, because they hadn't called me back because they had to order a part and they haven't got the part yet. And I said, he said, well, I don't know. He said, I ain't got the part. And I said, okay. I know you were out. Y'all been busy. I said, but you've had it for over a month. Now's the time that you get it done. I need it by Wednesday next week. Understand? And I said it just like that. Because instead of being angry, I know what I'm supposed to do. And so I listened to him. I listened because that says be swift to hear, right? So I listened to him give me all the excuses he could think of, right? And then I was slow to speak. I made sure he understood that he had had it for over a month and I needed it next Wednesday. I wasn't mad. It was easy, y'all. It was very easy. The Word tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You can be angry, but don't sin. Well, I know people that they carried that over. They're mad on Monday, and they get up on Tuesday, and they're still mad. And they get up on Wednesday, and they're still mad. When we learn how to start slowing down and quit being in a hurry and listening to the Word of God, then we're not going to get in anger. Okay? You don't have to operate that way. Number three. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Healing. What if you're sick? Or what if something's coming on you? You know? What if that's trying to attack you? And the first thing, be careful what you say, because it's what we teach here. Don't go, oh, well, I'm going to get a cold. Well, I guess you are, you know. You just told me you were, so hey, you know. And I used to do that. But once we learn how to operate in God's economy, in God's way, then we quit doing those things. When we say, oh man, so-and-so got a, I'll tell y'all, I played a job about a month ago. And there's a guy that one of the musicians in the band, I ain't mentioned no names, but bless his heart, he gets everything. I mean, anything that's going around, he's getting. You know? A great musician and nice guy. Nice guy. So he calls me like 10 o'clock Sunday night one night, and like I don't answer because I'm in bed asleep at 10 o'clock at night. I get a message. He says, call me back. I've got something to tell you. I'm like, okay. So I called him, left him. He called me back. He said, well, he said, just thought I'd let you know I've got the Rona. Oh, good. Because we worked together like 3 days before. So he's calling, let me know. He said, I'm sure you'll be fine. I said, oh, yeah, I will be fine. But he spoke that he was around somebody that had it, and guess what? He got it. Well, we have to be careful what we speak, y'all. So for our healing, that's the first thing. Be careful to speak. Y'all turn to James 5. That's over in my book, about 3 or 4 pages to the right. Are y'all getting something out of this morning? Man, y'all look like y'all are kids in college today. Y'all writing, and I love it. I love it. Taking notes. Yeah. From somebody telling y'all to take notes that used to not take notes. That's okay. I take a lot of notes now, but I didn't in college. Chapter 5, verse 15 in James. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So, I'm going to read it in the Amplified, because listen to this. And the prayer that is of faith. Everybody say, that is. You can say a prayer of faith, but is it in faith? I mean, are you just saying a prayer that, well, I'm healed? But do you believe it? Are you saying that prayer in true faith that you believe that you're healed? Amen? That's what a prayer of faith is. It has to be done in the right way. In the right way. In the right way. I have faith. I pray that prayer of faith. Faith that no fiery dart she'll come against me in the name of Jesus, because that's what the Word says. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24 says that we are healed by His stripes. That's what we talked about a while ago. He took all of those 39 stripes so that we don't have to have any disease. We don't have to have sickness, y'all, unless you allow it to have place in you. Amen? And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Not happening. Number 4 on our quick reference guide. Confused. Now, confused can be a lot of different things. I mean, you can be just confused. I mean, look at the world. That should make you confused right there, right? I mean, I look at the gas prices and it confuses me. Well, it does. Like Dad and I were laughing when we came through Burnet this morning at 7:25. It said gas, 3:05. We were laughing because we said, well, we'll see what it is when we come back through. Because we've stopped and got gas there, gone in the grocery store, be there 10 minutes, come out, and it went up 10 cents. How did that happen? I bought diesel in Burnet the other day. It was like 4:34, and I had to go to Liberty Hill. To the bank, went to the bank, came back. It went up 20 cents while I was gone. And then yesterday it was back down to 4:34. I mean, I don't know if they have a guy in there that says, like, watch this. Let's really mess them people up today. You know, let's confuse old Brian over there and see if he wants to look at my gas prices. Because, watch, I'll change it while he's watching. That's confusing, right? I mean, the world is confusing. What do? We turn to Matthew 6:34. No, wait. James 1:5. Go back to the left just a hair. So when we're confused, what do we need? We need wisdom. We need wisdom to break through all of that gunky confusion that we deal with every day. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Now, go to the right to James 3. See, aren't y'all glad I'm doing this within two or three pages? Y'all ain't having to hunt real bad yet. James 3, and we're going to start in verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You can look at the world today and see what people are doing and how they're fighting. And they're looking and they're going. It's like Christians. People look at us and go, there's something different. But instead of being interested in finding out what we know, they get jealous and they get envious that we can walk in situations that they lose their mind over. And we're like, no big deal. I got Jesus, baby. I know. And see, we can't give in to being confused. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. And if you can write in your Bible, if you so feel inclined to understand that word above, is first pure. Then, listen to this, y'all, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Whew! Somebody ought to say amen to that. My Lord. When we understand that the wisdom from above is peaceful, y'all, that's why as Christians we should never be confused if we're in the Word. Because we have that peace that passes all understanding. Have y'all noticed something too? That as we've talked about these, just a few of them. Holy Spirit's so good. That each one of them is intertwined. Have you noticed that? That as we talk and read this scripture, that this stuff is intertwined. Because joy and peace, how do you get joy and peace? Well, it we'll find out. But each scripture doesn't just deal with anger. It doesn't deal with just fear. Just Isaiah that we just talked about, 41:10 says, fear thou not. He says, I will strengthen thee. Man, not only does he get rid of our fear, but he builds us up. He gives us strength. That's what it's supposed to do, y'all. But we have to start learning to not just read it and go on. Amen? We're supposed to meditate on the Word day and night. And we've had this discussion before. Everybody goes, well, I don't have all day that I can meditate on the Scripture or the Word. Yeah, you do. And y'all look and say, I do. Y'all say that, say, I do, right? And I'm going to tell you, you do. When you start getting in the Word and you read the Word so much that whatever comes out of your mouth is what the Word is. Amen? So you're in the Word all the time. Like when something good happens at work, you don't go, oh man, yes. No, I go, oh man, thank you, Jesus. That's the Word, y'all. That's what it's taught. It's not talking about that you have to be so engrossed with this like this and you're around this all day long. Lord, I'm meditating on your Word day and night, day and night. But I guarantee you that some of you out there, that's what you feel like when the preacher says, meditate on it day and night. Don't throw things at me. It's not. It's learning to live the life that Jesus gave us. It's learning to walk like He walked. Amen? That's what this is for. It's our quick reference guide. That we know how to get started. Because that's the hardest thing to do for some people is getting started. Amen? It's okay to say amen. Nobody else can see you. Well, I can, but You have to understand why you come to church and you want to hear the word, and then on Sunday you feel so good when you leave church. Man! And then you wait till next Sunday to feel good again. Can I be real with y'all? It's like when I was in college, in high school, the worst thing that a teacher could tell me is I was going to have to write a research paper. Oh, my Lord. A what? A research paper. And back in those days, as some of y'all know, we didn't have computers. You had to really write a research paper. There's nothing for Ricky that's fun about that. There's nothing that says, there's no guide that tells you how to write that research paper. But the English teacher would say, here's you a guide. No, it didn't work. Ricky's biggest problem was starting that research paper, y'all. The point is don't be that way with the Word. Amen? Get in the Word. That's what we're doing this morning. I hope, I pray that you're getting something out of this morning, because this is what people need in order to get started. Instead of going, well, this God thing doesn't work because I don't know where to go. Y'all, you're getting it this morning. There's also a deal in the back that you can look up a word and it will tell you where to go. And I'm not making fun right now. I'm being serious. I'm trying to help people that when they see the word, man, this is not even part of my sermon. When people see this word, they just it's like they get leg cramps or something. You know, I mean, their whole body just cramps up because they're afraid. You don't know. The Holy Spirit's telling me to tell y'all to open the book at home. Amen. You carry one of these in your car. You've heard Pastor Corey say, carry your Bible in your car. We have it on our phones, yes, and it makes it good that you can use your phone. But y'all, don't be afraid to open it and look at it. Quick reference, number 5. I guess I better hurry. This 150 quick reference is going to take a little bit. Did I say number 5? Number 5. Worry. See, y'all are worried that I really do have 155. I'm fixing to tell you how to get out of worry. Go to Matthew 6:34. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Matthew 6:34. And I'll tell you, me and the Holy Spirit argued a lot this week over this message. Because I thought, this, really? And he said, you just do what I tell you to do. Yes, sir. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. It don't feel right. It's uncomfortable. But that's how our walk is sometime, y'all. Only I get to get up here and be uncomfortable in front of y'all. But you know what? It's such a blessing that I don't know where that came from. It's a blessing to be up here and to minister to y'all, that it may move you. See, that's what God wants us to do, is move. He doesn't want us to move out of town. I mean, unless he tells you to, but he wants you to start moving in his word. Amen. He didn't write this word just so that we would read it. He wants us to read it, but he wants us to move because of that word. And are you using that word to move? Are you using the word to worry? Because in Matthew 6:34, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow, y'all. For the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. We get so caught up in what is going to happen, or you think might happen, that you're miserable, that you can't sleep, that you, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm just worried. I'm going crazy here because I don't know what's going to happen. God does. Do you think about talking to Him? If you're going to be up and not sleep, talk to Him. Right? Don't go get some ice cream out of the refrigerator at 2 in the morning and sit on the couch and stare at one of them shopping channels. Because admit it, some of y'all have done that. No, talk to God. Talk to God. He wants you to move. He wants you to get off that couch. You know what? He wants you to start walking in His Word. Oh, y'all got to read here. We got to see this. Romans 15:13. This goes along with worry, y'all. And we're going to speed up a little bit. Romans 15:13. And it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo, Jesus. You see, there's hope. And that's what our Jesus gives us, is hope. Hope is expecting, though. It don't get caught up in, oh, it's not like I hope that I don't catch the Rona, you know, because I'm expecting that I don't get it. But you're expecting. And it says that Jesus, that God will give us and fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing, through the experience, oh, listen to this, of your faith. It's your faith, Rick. Oh, man. It's not my faith. John, it's your faith. It's, man, Gene, it's your faith. It ain't my faith. See, He fills us with that joy and peace according to what I'm believing. Amen? So you have to learn how to build that faith up. And it's by being in this Word. Number 6. Are you tired? Turn to Matthew 11:28. Yeah, some of y'all are going, I'm tired. Matthew 11:28. Says, come unto, this is Jesus talking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Those of you, yoke, if you don't know, means a burden. It means a burden or a weight. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Oh, thank you, Lord. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalms 46:1 tells us that God is our refuge and our strength. See, when we're tired, we can go to Him because He's our refuge. He'll build us up. Amen? Number 7, strength. Isaiah 40:31. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Man, that's good stuff. You should be saying, I receive that right now. Man, I need that. I need that. Because with everything that you go through in your daily, whatever you do, your work, your spouse, your friends, your others, whatever, it all runs together. And then we start going, what do I do? Because see, it says it will renew us. Well, that kind of ties in back to when we were talking about being tired. So if you're tired, you can also put that there because they go together. He's going to renew us. And He's going to give us strength. Amen? Whoo, our God is so good. Amen. Okay, what if you're feeling attacked? You feeling attacked? Ephesians 6. Boy, that's a good one. Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't just put on the helmet of salvation. That's what we sometimes, most people nowadays, they get saved and then they go, oh, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter if I get attacked by the devil. I'll just put up with it and I'll worry and I'll be tired and I'll be sick and tired and I'll be mumbly, grumbly, grippy. And no. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. You can read that whole section there. I would do it, but we don't have enough time. This is kind of like 11 mini sermons in one. Because all these, I could preach on just one scripture on all this. So y'all have to bear with me. Oh, now I know none of y'all, this never happened to any of y'all. What number are we on, y'all? Number nine, backslidden. Did I say that in church? No, this is if somebody's done it before, backslidden. It's a word. Look it up, Roger. S-B-E-S-L-I-D-D-E-N. That's somebody that's been there and done that. You just wait. You see, you don't believe me. He'll be going home and Googling that. Go to Jeremiah real fast. Jeremiah. It's right after Isaiah. I love this one. This is good. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3:22. And it says, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. He says, I will heal your backsliding. That just means that you've fallen away. You've fallen away from God. All he's doing is telling you to come back. Come back. He'll forgive you. He will heal you. You just have to confess that you went out and you've been backslidden. It's all in how you use it in a sentence, Roger. I was a math teacher. I wasn't an English teacher. Confess it and move on. It's not the end of the world, okay? The word sin means to misstep, okay? You got out of step. Get back in step. Get back in God's army, marching like we're supposed to march. Amen? Number 10, comfort. What if you're needing some comfort? What if you're grieving over somebody that's passed? Guys, what if your wife's mad at you because you didn't carry out the trash and you're grieving? You know, it works for everything. See, y'all laugh, but it works even on the smallest things. Okay? So, what do? We turn to 2 Thessalonians. That's in the T's in the New Testament. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Powerful word. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Know that God gives you the peace. But it's our job to do what? To receive the peace that he's given. He's not going to dump it on you. You have to reach out there and take it. He's saying, here it is. You're my child. I'm giving you peace in this time of whatever you're going through. Whatever you're fighting through, It tells us right there in Jeremiah, he's given us that peace. But are you going to reach out there and take it? Or are you going to wallow in your grief? Amen? Number 11. And this is one that we talk about every Sunday in church is your finances. Let's say that you hadn't been writing down those tithes and offering scriptures. And you go, I don't know what to do. Go to Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 27. And it says, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, y'all. No matter what you're suffering through, what you're going through, whatever your check engine light is on, and you need to reset that check engine light. That's what the word is for, is to reset your personal check engine light and get you back to where you need to be. Amen? Amen. How do we do it? Proper maintenance, right? I mean, if your car's not maintained, you're going to have problems. It's what we're supposed to do spiritually, y'all. Because then it takes, when we are spiritually set with the Word, then we don't start having physical problems. And we don't have financial problems. And we don't have relationship problems. And we don't have kid problems. And if we're maintaining and we're growing in the Word, we don't have to reset our engine light. But maybe you need to reset your engine light today. I want y'all to hear this. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and he made this statement. He said, people are distracted by what they're walking into. Now you stop and think about that for a minute, and how not everybody else's, but yours personally, you stop and think about what I just said, how it is for you. People are distracted by what they are walking into. We forget who we're walking into it with. See, when we walk into those situations and we're distracted by those situations, we forgot the promise that we walked in with. Man, y'all, when something like that happens and you get into one of those situations, remember who you got your back. Remember who's got you forward. Who's got you sideways. See, we have to get that mentality. We have to get that in our heart. That no matter wherever we go, he says he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So then when you're fixing to walk into something, remember who you're walking into it with and not what's around you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Have y'all had a good time this morning? Man. I hope y'all got something out of that because it was a different sermon for me. It felt a little different. So. Amen, y'all. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we always, always, every service give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. That you've been coming to church here a long time, and you've just never really... You've said that prayer out loud with everybody else, but your heart really wasn't in it. You just say it every week and hope it sticks. Today's the day, y'all. Today is the day that you say that prayer from your heart and you mean it. Amen? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to say this prayer out loud, but all of you believers, we're going to say it. Y'all know how we do this. Everybody say out of your mouth, Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you, Father. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Father, I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come into my heart and life. And save me, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross for me. that you took that beating for me, Father God. We just praise you and love you. And I thank you that today is my God day in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed still, if that was you and you said that today and meant it for the first time, just raise your hand and then we'll get you a Bible and you can put it right back down. 1, 2, 3. If that was you, stick your hand up real fast. All right, everybody look at me. We know because they're all on vacation today, right? Amen. I hope y'all got something out of the sermon this morning. And I'm going to get Miss Sharon to come up and close for me this morning. You got one?